Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this free podcast from Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and like and listen to your podcast wherever you pick up your podcast feed. You can also subscribe at theCelticUnderground.substack.com, where you will get email notification of new content as soon as it is out. And you can subscribe for free, or there'll be plenty of free content, articles and podcasts. But also, you can pay a small subscription and you'll get extra special content. Anyway, enough of me. On to today's free podcast.
Hi, and welcome to our Celtic Underground latest chat round the hooses, as we like to call it. And we're getting more upbeat by the week. So, and it's great to have another newbie, not a newbie that any's have followed the Celtic Underground content this season won't have seen, but a newbie on their Round the Hooses podcast. So I'll start off with our new man, Martin Hughes, regular CU contributor and also a regular on the comment section at the bottom of the podcast. So now you can comment in yourself when this one comes out.
I'm not that narcissistic.
Really?
Well, it depends.
And Stephen Ryan, great to have you back. Another regular contributor. You two have probably argued in cyberspace.
More than once, I would say.
But we're all feeling...
Just a frank exchange of views.
Yeah. See, this is what makes us, because...
You haven't seen the Celtic Daz play, have you?
No.
Didn't he see it? There was something else on it, because it was just round the corner for me, round down at Webster's. I wish I had, because...
I went to see it. It was on in Cumbernauld back in October, so I took my mum. It was my mum's birthday, and it was like a different night out, Cumbernauld Theatre. But there's two guys in that, and it turns out they've been arguing with each other in a chat room. But they're best pals, right. Go to the pub every Saturday. But they've got a different username when they're online and they don't realise. So one guy's this user 752 up the ra was calling me this, and the guy's like, that's me. So at least we've got our real names here, so at least you know who we are.
I remember I once had to go and interview Alex Bowen at Stirling Albion, and he'd been scoring loads of goals. But I had no idea what he looked like. So I was along and I went in at the front of the wee reception and I saw there was this tiny wee guy standing there. And I thought he'd some kind of Stirling Albion training kit. I said, hey mate, I don't know if you could help me at all. I said, but I'm here to interview a player and it's really quite important and all that. And I said, you couldn't go and find out if somebody knows where Alex Bowen is? And he went, I'm Alex Bowen. I went, I knew that. I was just kidding you on. Of course, I've been studying all my stuff up and all that. That was about the best interview you got, by the way. I don't think it got any better after that. And whatever happened to Alex Bone? I'll need to go and check him up once we leave here.
I remember the name, actually.
I think he was he Jimmy Bone's nephew?
It must have been something to do with Jimmy, yeah.
He definitely was. But my research hasn't remained with me. So, but we digress. And that's what we do in Celtic Underground, as you know. But, I don't know, I was just off the phone, called a good friend there, and she said, for the first time, I'm thinking Celtic might do this. Now, I'm still not quite there.
Careful now.
For some reason, I'm still not quite there. You know what my biggest change over the weekend? And it's shame on me, but see, before Sunday, even before Sunday, you know what I never thought would happen? I never thought Hearts would win it. But actually, for the first time this weekend, I can actually see Hearts winning it. It's a weird one. Now, you were at the game on Saturday, Martin. I mean, my boy said, I wasn't able to, I watched it in McConnell's because I was going to a theatre show, in the Royal Theatre Royal, not that half five kickoff. Done me in. So I couldn't actually be there in person. And obviously, Stephen, anybody doesn't know, he's down in Cardiff. But you were actually there. My boy said, Dad, you missed the best atmosphere of the season.
It was great. Yeah, it was great. A beautiful afternoon. Made sure I'd set off in plenty of time because bitter experience tells me that ScotRail is a secret branch of Rangers Football Club and I've got a terrible tendency to cancel trains, so which they duly did on Saturday.
Right.
I was okay because I got on at Exhibition Centre. And of course, the train I got on was only a three-carriager, so it was chaos at Central. Absolute chaos. Up to the ground, the atmosphere was brilliant, and it was brilliant all the way through. Fans really responded, stayed with the team for the entirety of the game. Played pretty well. Just it seems to be the case that at some point or points during the game, opposition teams seem to take control of the game. And Falkirk did that for a period without threatening too much, you know. It was refreshing to go in 2-0 up at half time, and then we didn't start the second half that badly. You know, we actually didn't, which has been a feature recently, which is a bit of a bizarre contrast. I remember when O'Neill was first manager in 2000 to 2005, time and again we'd get to half time and he would sort things out and we'd run over teams in the second half. The opposite seems to be true now, that we just seem to start the second half really badly, but we didn't. And their goal came out of nothing.
Goal was a worldie, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable. I mean, the guy takes it down in his chest and just lashes it into the top corner. I saw that some people were criticising Tierney. It's just...
Our man Harry Brady. If you've listened to the monopod.
He did.
Our man Harry Brady.
But, you know, they played well. They stuck at it. There's some guy, and Tanetke, come on, that contributing to that goal will help him. Because he's just bereft of confidence. And the difference that Johnston makes, it's, you think, can a right back really influence a game and a team that much? He will.
He does, yeah.
The power that he's got and getting beyond the winger, giving the winger an option, whoever's playing on that side will really benefit. And Engels was great. Come back, and he's not bedding in after the injury. He seems really fit. You know, he's snapping into tackles, he's got good energy.
And you see a Celtic midfielder.
And the fans were great, they were really positive all the way through. Just actually, in a season that's been pretty much bereft of any sort of a joy, it was a great afternoon and evening. I'm sure I don't think the theatre would quite compare, Andrew, but there you go.
And what was the atmosphere like in the club, Stephen? Was
it? And then Saturday, my wife, we had friends around for dinner, so I couldn't watch it in the club, so I watched it at home.
No Doug then, no Doug T.
The dog got an awful fright yesterday when Motherwell got their third. My dog got a really bad fright, but she was sounding to the world in front of me when Motherwell got their third. But Saturday she was more prepared. Yeah, it was, you know, you've seen all the build-up beforehand, you've seen the support kind of gathering outside the ground, all that was kind of appearing online. So it was good to see that. It's the chairman was talking about unity. For once, we actually looked like we had a wee bit of unity. And it transmits, you know, and those that were in the ground and at the game will seem to be saying the same kind of thing. So that helps the players. And as you say, Martin, the likes of Johnston coming back, I think people forget how many injuries we've had this year, and big players, not like peripheral players. Guys that actually, Johnston, Carter Vickers, Jota, kind of icons of previous title winning, treble winning sides, and suddenly you don't have them. And the replacements aren't, you know, and that's a different issue, the replacements aren't up to the sort of required standard. I think that gives us, if you've got, to be honest, even if it's only Johnston comes back, I don't think we're going to see any others back now.
How much could Osmond, how much impact could he really have?
Osmond, yeah, will be good because he gives a bit of positivity. I think we all might get a wee lift. But Finnis, he's a wee guy that played 3 or 4 games and, you know, that was it. You know, he's not someone we should be pinning. You know, Johnny Kenny scored in that game that Osmond scored in. We weren't screaming for Johnny to come back.
Johnny Kenny scored
five in a row. And the goal's a cracker as well. It's an absolute belter, but you rather suspect he's found his level there. Yeah. And no disrespect to him, but, you know, Bolton, they're in the
third tier.
Trying to get into the Championship. But, if Osmond comes back again, it can't do any harm, and it gives us another option.
I mean, you spotted this, or you talked about it, and bizarrely Martin's talked about it to me privately as well. Look, none of the loan signings in the squad, not even in the squad, not a one, Stephen.
You know, that that shows you. If you look on Saturday, actually, because we were talking last week, and I'd done some scribbles about Falkirk before the game. So that boy, Barney Stewart, is it Barney Stewart that Falkirk brought in? So they had him out on loan at Dunfermline. We scored goals in the Championship. Falkirk brought him back. I think he scored about 12 goals since the turn of the year. The only he had a run of games there before the Rangers and the Celtic games where he'd scored like four or five games in a row, got a hat-trick against Hibs. He scored more than all of our January signings put together. And he didn't cost anything. You know, so it just shows you. And people say, oh, you can't, you know, January, you know, the famous, it's a difficult window. It is if you're not buying. And what we've went out and brought in is guys that weren't getting a game elsewhere. And Martin used to be good at that. You know, he brought Sutton. He brought Alan Thompson, guys that maybe had fallen out of favour at their clubs in England. But I think it's really different in the middle of a season.
Yeah.
Okay, he brought in Bellamy because Bellamy fell out with Souness and came in. Ultimately,
Bellamy was just class.
Yeah, he didn't, you know, didn't quite get us over the line. But the guys this year, none of them have been getting a game. So if you're going to use the loans market, the wee guy that scored the screamer for Falkirk on Saturday is a loan from Swansea.
Right.
Other teams, Scottish teams, are bringing in maybe youngsters from Premiership sides. The lad that played for St Mirren against us from Manchester United, young guy coming up to get game time. Like we done when we sent McGregor down to Notts County. I used to work with a guy, Notts County fan. I've only ever met one. But he had, and at the same time they had McGregor, they had Grealish.
I see.
And McGregor was far and away the better player. I was the best player he'd seen play at that level. He used to rave about Callum McGregor.
Wow.
There's maybe the boy from Brentford is maybe that's the model we want, is someone that's on the periphery of their team and can come in to our team. But yeah, not guys that aren't getting on the pitch for it.
But I think he was carrying an injury, I think, after the semi final. But he wouldn't have been playing had he been fit. He would have been on the bench. Yeah. Yeah, Arthur would have been on the bench. Yeah.
He doesn't get
on Saturday. Yeah. So, I mean, the team was. He seemed to have settled on Maeda at centre forward.
Which rightly
I'm
so.
Fine with. Yeah,
rightly
I'm absolutely
so.
Fine with that. You know,
rightly so. There's now a kind of. There's now some kind of plan, put it in single inverted commas, at work, because you think from this point on the season, Maeda will start through the middle.
Yeah.
After about 60 minutes or 65 minutes, you'll see Iheanacho will come on. Maeda will move to the left, and therefore Yang and Maeda will probably be starting most of the games. And they can give it, especially Yang can give you his best 65, knowing that like Forrest can come on, or him and Forrest. So you're now beginning to see certain kind of patterns within the team selection. People kind of know, this is what, like, he used to always say, as Martin O'Neill used to always say, I don't rotate because form and injuries, they rotate for you. So I don't need...
The last two games, the goals from Maeda have came from pressing. So the first goal against St Mirren is a mistake. Like, the two goals on Saturday, like the first one, I think we were all surprised with finish.
Yeah.
Dyson is one-on-one with the goalie. We're not betting on him scoring. Never mind when he's that far out. But that was a fantastic finish.
Terrific finish,
the one he
nicked
for team.
Maybe that's why he hit it that early, rather than risking running in.
Yeah. You think about it. I think sometimes if he doesn't think, you know, and a lot of players are like that. You know, it's a kind of instinct thing. If they do it on instinct, it works. And, you know, the two goals, and I thought on Saturday, some of the passing was a bit sloppy, but the pressing was really good.
Yeah.
When we did lose the ball, we got it back.
Yeah, and there was also...
As you say, that new setup is... We've kind of stumbled into... This is probably the best way to play.
Yeah, yeah. I'll need to just... It's match and mend, and this is how you'll go forward. And I know you say some of the passing was sloppy, but some of it was a wee bit more progressive than we've seen previously. I noticed one player particularly, and I know you're not allowed to say nice things about him in the Celtic Underground, but... Scales wasn't dilly-dallying as much. He was stepping forward. He was attempting to step forward at least and then play a pass from 20 yards forward, which is what we used to see with Starfelt. Rather, as opposed to, I'm just going to sit here, pass it to the left.
McGregor wasn't sitting as deep as he normally was. He pushed on a wee bit as well, so you know, maybe that's linked to it. If Scales is going to play a forward pass more quickly, then McGregor doesn't need to hover in front of the two central defenders and pick the ball up. It was definitely much more front foot stuff.
It was. I mean, it's not exactly Brazil 1970, but like, it's like, it's a lot. At least it looks entirely different from when you thought they were gone 2 weeks ago. Like,
that's what he did the first time round, didn't he? It was in those first five games when he came in after Rodgers. It was a slight change in style. It was getting the ball up a wee bit quicker. We played a bit more aggressively. We created a lot more chances. I think that was at the game Falkirk at Dundee United. We created a load of chances.
Falkirk, aye.
Way more than we had earlier. And then suddenly, after the whole Nancy debacle, the players just, you know, we said it last week, the players just seem bereft of confidence.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
But we're, it's, I mean,
they're a bit more confident again now, I think. And winning does that.
Winning does that. Do you know this is
definitely good?
The longest, Celtic's longest winning run this season, league winning run, right? I've done all these stats because Joe Blog City said he wanted full stat closure. So I've done that. I've done those. Celtic's longest winning run in the league this season is five, which is that Anil's first period.
Five. Yeah.
So they're now in their second longest winning run of the season, three games.
Three.
Rangers and Hearts, both their longest winning runs are six. The other one I was saying to you, I mean, this sounds like, I saw this guy, it was a classic line, and I'd never heard it before, and it's a bit base, but I've got to say it. He said, it was somebody about saying, Celtic can do this, Celtic can do that. He said, you're clutching at more straws than a scarecrow having a wank. Maybe I'm clutching at more straws than our scarecrow.
There's a family rating now.
I know.
With his ownerism. So, I sent you these, didn't I, Stephen?
Yeah.
Because there was the thing going around about the fact that Hearts' form against the four teams have still got to play this season is 1-8, drawn 3, lost 1. Celtic's form against the four teams they have to play is 1-3, drawn 4, lost 5. Rangers' form this season against the four teams that they've still to play, 1-5, drawn 5, lost 2. So you think this very much favours Hearts, but Stephen said, no, we should do the comparator. The comparator should be the three managers that are in charge right now. So you have to take it from when Martin O'Neill started his second spell. So his second spell this season, 14 league games they've played, 10 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses. The same period, Hearts, 14 league games, 9 wins, 2 draws, 3 losses. Rangers have only played 13 games in that period, 8 wins, 4 draws and 1 loss. Celtic have got 32 out of possible 42 points in this O'Neill second spell. Hearts in this same period, 29 points out of 42. Rangers, 28 points out of 39. So that works out. Celtic's win rate under O'Neill, 76%. Rangers' win rate in this O'Neill era, this O'Neill period, 71%, and Hearts, 69%. So as you said, Martin, does that mean Celtic are winning the league?
Yes, that's the only question I've got at the end of all that. Yeah. With all the numbers bounce off my head. I'm like, are we going to win the league then?
I saw another one today. O'Neill's now played 19 games, which is half a season. And for his 19 games, he's got 47 points. So over a full season, that's 97 points. I'm sorry, that's 94 points. That wins you the league.
Does.
We'll be running away with it.
Wins you the league. So it shows you, actually, I said this to somebody earlier, like I mentioned last week that I was drinking with a couple of Huns in the pub after the semi-final, and they said, yous are going to win the treble now. That's it. You know, definitely going to win the treble. And if someone had come up with a plan to wreck Celtic season that night, those two Rangers fans that I was drinking with could not have come up with a better plan than we'd done ourselves. You know, what we've done to make it an interesting season. But take all that aside, we've got four games to go. You said Hearts have got a good record. There's no way Hearts are going to beat Rangers three times in a season. Just can't see it. Can't see it. I can't
this
see
Rangers it. Team, but they've lost what, 8 goals in the last 3 games or something?
Doesn't matter. I don't see them winning. I don't see them beating us 3 times in a season, to be honest. I don't see them. They've not lost to Motherwell yet, and they should have lost at least twice to Motherwell.
Should have lost. Yeah.
So they've rode their luck against Motherwell. I think Hearts, and look, people say, oh, the lucky generals are the good generals. Hearts have rode a lot of luck all season.
They have.
Yesterday, you know, 9 men and they won with 5 minutes to go. That's not a, you know, they're kind of, they're going to have a bump. You know, I thought they would have the bump yesterday. I thought Rangers would win yesterday and Hearts might have the bump.
But as you were saying earlier on, Andrew, yeah, I get that. Over the course of the weekend, I mean, they beat Hibs, and it doesn't really matter that Hibs are down to 9 men. You know, we're running out of games to catch them. So there might be a bump, but now it's like it really is within touching distance for them.
I mean, the question... They
don't start to believe it.
What do you want, apart from Celtic winning, of course, what do you want to happen in that game on Sunday? Monday.
The holiday. A draw. Because then you don't want the Hearts to be in the position. If they beat Rangers, I mean, it virtually kills Rangers stone dead, I think.
Do you not want that?
They've only got three games to go. One of them's against Falkirk, you know. Just a draw. They take a draw.
Yeah, I think
all day long.
A draw is probably the best result for us because it damages both of them. As long as we win, you know, if we lose on Saturday, you want Hearts to win because we're not going to win the league. So you want Hearts to win too. Probably, but I, you know, I'm assuming we're going to win. I'm hoping we're going to win. I think we're more than capable of winning. We go out and win Sunday we are playing. We go out and win our game. And then the best result for us is a draw. If Hearts win, it's still in our hands because we win our games and then it's down to goal difference. And, you know, if we beat them 2-0 or 3-0, then you win. But that's, you know, can you see this team, if we go to the last game, we need a 3-0 win. I just don't see, you know, see it against, certainly not against a team that needs to avoid a 3-0 win.
No.
So that swing on the last day would be tricky. But if you go into that last day and Hearts need a draw and we need a
win. They'll get a draw. They would come and just...
Do you reckon? I don't know. But I reckon that could work to our favour. If they only come needing a draw, Kenneth will set them up for a draw. And that might work to our... You don't know.
It'll be negative.
And they'll be really negative and they'll just kick us off the park and break up the
game. That's what they're going to do, irrespective. That's what they've done in all the other games. That's what they've done. They're a side that seems to have the invisibility cloak. You know, their players get away with challenges that, you know, the Hibs boy got sent off for 2 bookings yesterday. The first booking was soft and was actually caused by the Hearts player starting a rammy that the two boys got booked for.
Oh, yeah.
His booking was soft. The second one was stupid. But Hearts players, you know, Hearts got about 3 players booked in the last 10 minutes. But it doesn't change the game then. So they managed to, and I just think, I don't see them getting those refereeing decisions on Monday against Rangers. Because, you know, I think the back call will be going out tonight to the Lodge members. They'll have to do something. There's no way they're going to give in. But then Rangers fans, there's some Rangers fans, I think you had the thing earlier, that they want to lose the Hearts.
Yeah.
It's not no surrender, it's occasional surrender.
It's occasional surrender. That was a great one as well, wasn't it?
I liked that one, yeah.
That was, yeah.
But maybe they've given in. But the danger then is if Hearts gub Rangers, Rangers have come to Celtic with nothing to play for and they'll want to, but other than to beat us.
Yeah, and as Gary C says.
They were coming and they had to come at us. And we'll pick them off then, like Motherwell did yesterday.
Although, do you know what you notice? See if that does happen. See if Rangers do lose on Sunday and Celtic do win. They'll come with nothing to play for. Now, it's not a band of guys who are dyed-in-the-wool Rangers supporters who are coming with nothing to play for, but you've still got that pride. See the hired hands that both Celtic and Rangers have now. They don't care about what the, like, you could really sock it to them. You could screw up their title bid and all that. They don't think like that. Players don't think like that.
They've got a few like that in their team. Your Raskins, your Diamandis. They've a few players in that team that, despite not being from the west of Scotland, Lanarkshire, traditional good Rangers man stock, they're still, like, behave like Hunt. Tavernier's not one of them, actually. Whatever you say about Tav, somebody said, you know, he's kind of inoffensive. I don't mind him.
I know.
He scores loads of goals and penalties, but actually, he's not been a major damage to Celtic over the years. No, he's not.
He's never played to the gallery. He's never played to the gallery.
He doesn't really do that. Raskin does that. Chimiti was doing it yesterday, going round, and you know he stamped on the guy and then had to go at him on the ground.
Like, yeah, but that was just naff.
And I still think that you know they're capable of beating us. You know, look at the other way. Martin O'Neill hasn't lost to Hearts or to Rangers, so. We lost to those teams with Nancy in charge, with Rodgers in charge. That was it. We were a different proposition.
Yeah, but over the course of the season, and you are only dealing with the guy who's in post just now, we haven't beaten either of them in the league so far. But, you know, the reality is, if we were sitting and we had to go to Tynecastle and Ibrox and had to win, I would say, we're out. We're not doing that. There's no chance of us doing that. The fact that we're playing both of them at home is probably one of the biggest factors at play here. But we haven't beaten either of them in the league. I mean, Andrew, is it September 24th?
September, yeah, 2024.
Since we last beat Rangers in the league.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So the cup games has been a different matter, but...
But they are no 90 minutes. They haven't beaten just 90 minutes since that September 24th.
Yeah, so that's just that.
You have to, yeah.
That's the only way.
That's different, aye. That's different.
You need to do it now. And I think, it's like we said last week, every game now is a cup final.
Yeah.
And this is, extra time and no penalties.
Yeah. You're probably right.
But I'm wondering if the extra time goals against St Mirren have given the team a real lift. It's almost as if they remembered we're not that bad.
Yeah.
That we can do this.
They certainly
given them a bit of a confidence boost.
Yeah, they certainly looked a more cohesive side. I'm not saying it was great, but there was certainly more cohesion. There was more passing patterns, and I have to say, you were talked about Maeda. That was as much as anything. Me and you would have seen this, Stephen, seen it watching the telly. I haven't seen him smile as much during a game in years.
Yeah.
He looked a really.
He knows now he's only got four games left.
And he knows he's loved again. I suppose he would have heard, I really missed hearing his song. Like, you know, it's just one of the great, the all-time great chants, isn't it?
So at what point
Tequila
do we
kind
talk,
of thing or whatever.
At what point do we talk about Negrin?
Oh.
He's the one guy I would say, you know, that's, in terms of the formation and how we're playing, it's just,
in the other camp. I was always, you know, I stopped listening to Harry's monopod because it was just basically a rant about Negrin every week, really. You know, Negrin got hat-trick, but he was shite the rest of the time sort of thing. But in fairness, on Saturday, I found him really frustrated. I couldn't believe he stayed on.
Yeah.
And I think he's one of those players, when he's scoring, he's fine. When he's contributing, he's fine. But when he doesn't, you're really...
What does he contribute then? What does he contribute when he's not scoring?
I think in a different team, in a different setup, maybe he's okay. You know, he done well for Sweden. He done well last year at Norsland. He good records. So it's not like he's had a fluky one-off season. He's actually been on a run for two seasons now. But I still don't think we know where best to play him. He's not a winger. He's not a 10. He's not a midfielder. What is he? He's a goal scorer. But actually, you know, I think Martin's point is that we're kind of in a battle now. The problem is, who do you bring in?
It would be Hatate every day of the week, but I don't know what's happened there. He seems to be carrying the can for the Dundee United game.
Yeah.
I know he was no worse than any of the rest of them that day, but it seems to be he's fallen off the edge of the cliff.
Look how good he was against Rangers.
He turned that league game and he put a real shift in the cup game. He dug in and he put a real shift in, scoring the penalty clearly meant a lot to him. And then you go to Dundee United where they were all rubbish.
Yeah.
No.
It's not his fault he ended up at right back. That was just crazy. And since then, I mean, I don't know what's going on.
He can support your press as well in a way that Negrin just doesn't have. He doesn't have that intensity or that forcefulness.
And maybe Negrin's the guy that you bring on with half an hour to go. Because actually,
that'd be brilliant.
You've got Negrin, you've got Inacho, you've got James Forrest, you've got even Tenekti's a. Connected to me, someone that, as an impact player, he's actually been quite good.
Yeah, I thought he was all right.
It was okay.
And it was a clever wee ball for the third goal. He took it, and he had two defenders on him, and he just threaded it between them. But as I said earlier on, he just looks, he looks bereft of confidence. If Johnston's there, that will help him at whichever stage in the game that he's coming on. But I would just, I would ditch Negan.
Do you think Johnston?
No real hope.
Would you take her out? Would you play Johnston for the start on Sunday, or do you need to give him another half hour and then you need to play him for the start against Rangers, don't you?
Yeah, he needs to start against Rangers. So on that basis, if you know what the score is, you'd maybe give him half an hour against Hibs.
Yeah, that's what you.
I don't think you can risk him, and you can't risk him.
Was it against Braga? They tried that, and then he was off. And was that the Braga game?
Yeah, it was the Braga game he came on, wasn't it? Was it that game? Because him and Inacho got done that night, didn't they? Both of them.
Yeah.
That night, I think.
Yeah, that was a painful.
It's a funny one. Like, we've got this player that we really like and we need him back and he's really important to the team, but he's so important we can't play him. It really doesn't make sense. You know, there's four games to go. You want him playing against Rangers, you want him playing against Hearts, you want him playing against Motherwell. So the last three games is probably our three hardest games. And that's no disrespect to Hibs. No, that's the way the table is.
Yes.
Motherwell have got five players in the team of the year. They've got two players in the nominees today.
Well, I thought those nominees were fair enough, by the way. I thought those nominees were fair enough.
The only shout you could have was, does Negrin get a shout because of the goals he scored? But then most Celtic fans wouldn't have him as our player of the year. So,
who is Celtic's player of the year?
I don't know. That's a different podcast.
None of them.
No, genuinely, who is Celtic's player of the year?
Ross H and I had that exchange the other day where I said, is there a category which is just none of them?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. It would kind of need to be Negrin, I think. Tierney?
Or Scales? We have a guy who watches the game in the pub. These two girls play football. Quite good footballers, actually. And the one, she's mad into the football. The one comes in, the two girls come in, one comes in, she sits with a can of Coke on her phone, but the older one, she's mad into it. And she said, we were arguing the other day, and she just said, Scales. She said, he's not the best player, but he's been the best player this year, or this season, and it's possibly hard to argue with. You know, but I'm not his biggest fan, I don't think.
Harry's going to stop recording now. You know what I mean? He's probably got, you know, like the CIA. Like, my pal told me that in the old days when you'd landlines, if you said certain words, then they would click on. If you said CND, and those days it would have been terrorism or whatever. So we used to just phone each other up. This was in the old days of landlines and just say these words all the time, you know. Anti-vivisection, CND.
So we are saying Scales and Negrin.
Scales and Negrin. So this will be the Harry antenna will go up.
This will be a 35-minute pod because Harry will just cut it off. I get what you're saying about Scales. You know, as a defender, he's a good defender when he's called upon to defend.
Yes.
It's just, see, when it comes to the playing football bit, which is quite a big part of being a footballer, he's not really that great. But, you know, as far as this season goes, in the Valley of the Blind, the one-eyed man's king and all that sort of stuff, so I suppose Scales would have to
It's a hard one.
Mention.
I don't see anybody. Yeah. There's no
I would maybe go
there.
Tierney. That was his 49th
Tierney.
Appearance for Celtic this season.
Although it looked a bit better on Saturday, but in the previous couple of games,
it's catching up with him.
He looked burst. I mean, he looked burst
catching
in the previous games.
It's as if he's got two weights hanging off his thighs.
You're not going to see Sriracha starting, I don't think, unless something happens to Tierney. Sriracha's not starting.
He's no defensively solid enough. You even saw it. He slipped on his arse, didn't he?
I was going to say, at 2-1, that was the one moment when the fans got a bit angsty, because I don't know if it was a slip or if it was over the other side from me, or whether he sort of was diving into a tackle and they were away.
Yeah.
And that was the one time in the game where people are like, hold on a wee minute.
He can be
a bit rash.
Did he not do the same? Was it in the lead up to St Mirren's equaliser? Was he not kind of involved in that as well?
Could have done, yeah. He's that kind of a traditional South American defender, in fairness. You know, he's great sometimes.
His warm-ups are hilarious. You know, the other players are running and stretching and doing this and that. And he'll sort of put one foot out just a wee bit in front of the other as if he's kind of stretching it.
Yeah.
He doesn't move. He just stands and watches the game as if he's desperate to get on. But it's
they were warming up in front of us at Hampden, and Ian Atchie was the same. You know, there was they were. You know, you jump in and out. You know, the kind of cones kind of thing, and he just went kind of plopped along the middle. You know, there wasn't any kind of.
Served his energy well, Biggie Atchie.
It's like watching my boy warming up when he was in the subs bench. I said, son, you need to look more engaged, man. You need to look as if you're really, I don't know.
Strategy's engaged in watching the game. He's not engaged in doing any stretches or warm-ups.
To be fair, that was more than my son with his teammate when they watched them, like, by and large. But a bit like, I worked out all the scenarios then, right? So Celtic win, Hearts and Rangers draw. Therefore, it's 1 point behind Hearts. 3 in front of Rangers. That sounds quite good, doesn't it, for a going into your Rangers game. Hearts win. 3 points behind Hearts, 4 points in front of Rangers. Yep. Rangers win, level with Hearts, and 1 point ahead of Rangers. This is in the basis of Celtic winning. So when you read it like that, you think, well, why wouldn't you want... Because you take Rangers on next. Why wouldn't you want Rangers winning in a way, isn't it? Because that really brings you into it.
Keeps them in it.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I want
film. You want them dead.
Yeah. Can both of them lose next Monday?
Yeah,
can they both lose at the one time?
Yeah,
that would be helpful.
If we win by 3 and Rangers win by 2, we're top.
That's bonkers. It's a bonkers thought. The bizarre thing,
you know.
The bizarre thing is, if you knew that was going to be a draw next Sunday, you think if Celtic don't win at Easter Road, they're almost kind of killing themselves off. But if both games were draws, you're still in it. It's weirdly.
Yeah, but I think any drop points for us is harder potentially, because then we've got these other, you know, yeah, in theory we could draw Saturday, win the other 3 games, and we'd probably still win the league. You know, sorry, we play on Sunday. If we draw Sunday, they draw on Monday. We're the same as we are now, so we're still 3 behind Hearts. But the chance of reducing that goal difference is gone, isn't it?
Yeah. You're not catching Rangers in the goal difference.
We're not catching Hearts, then it's harder to catch. You know, we beat Rangers, but then we're relying on somebody else beating Hearts.
I've just got a horrible feeling. I said this to you privately, Andrew, that we go into the last game 3 points behind Hearts, but like 6 down in goal difference, and win 1 or 2 nothing, you know, and losing. That at the end of the weekend there, that seemed a pretty likely scenario we need to go over Hibs, and that would be peak Hibsing it if they beat us or get any sort of result against us on Sunday, you know.
Well,
I thought it was bad enough the last time when they beat us, which helped Hearts.
Yeah,
but it'd just be like the thing for them to do something idiotic like that.
Off is at Parkhead this year, haven't they?
Exactly. I've played them 3 times and they've only beaten them once.
Yeah.
I mean, that was when you realised there was something far wrong. The first game against Hibs, the 0-0, you thought there's something wrong with this Rodgers team. There's something no right here. That's when
to be honest with you, Andrew, see the very first game against St Mirren when McCowan scored flag day, they just looked listless. You know, and that has set the tone for the entire season, really, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like, Neil said he wouldn't have minded if that was his last game. Remember, he thought that was going to be his last game at Easter Road?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he won, because they scraped through.
Yeah.
He just squeaked through, didn't he?
Mm.
That was that...
We were 2-0 up and they get a penalty.
The Scales
handball, which was a bit...
Again, if you look at the games where we've, you know, the games O'Neill drew, like we drew it at Hearts, you know, the sending off with Trusty, we hung on and we conceded late on. You know, we lost to Hibs after another sending off, which maybe Trusty just needs to not get fucking sent off.
Yeah.
That would really be helpful.
Whatever else you do, just don't get sent off. But the 2 games he got sent off, that cost us, you know, 2...
Potentially, 5 points,
probably, because we probably beat Hibs in that game. We're ahead, as it, you know, I don't think Hibs beat us. And then that's the thing. So you've lost those games. It's fine margins, And I know we, people, you know, we'd argue we haven't played well, we've not been great. But then you look at the record, even disregard the first five games that he won and just go on the 14 since he came in, his record is better than the other two he's competing against. Do you know?
The game we haven't reached yet is the Motherwell game away.
Yeah.
So let's just try and reach that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, let's just try and reach that.
Well away, we go to Motherwell away and we're top of the league, which we can be by then, I'd be less worried.
They went through a patchy period there, but they were really good in the first half.
They were excellent.
Yes,
they were
excellent. And you just think, you know, I can't see us setting up in a way that would, I don't know if we'd even look at them to see, try and figure out how are they going to play and how could we counter that? Because we just go out and play our way and kind of hope for the best. And I think they'd really need to think about that game, anticipate how Motherwell are going to set up, because it was clear as day in that game in December how they were playing out from the back, and we didn't seem to counter it at all, you know. So
yeah, but you need to get there. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
There's no point worrying about three games down.
Stephen's the same as me. I would take Askew, a guy who knows this league inside out.
Oh God, in a heartbeat.
I think he's a great, fantastic manager. I'd take him in the morning.
Yeah, I don't know why people are so.
Hearts, take him then, and we can get him in for the last couple of games.
Yeah,
we can get him for the Motherwell away game.
Can you imagine the Rangers and Hearts fans then?
There was an article. There was a big piece, Andrew. I think it was in The Athletic by Jordan Campbell.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Spent about a week with them, and I remember one of the things that kind of came out. One of the many things was that the players said, he's really hard.
Yeah.
You know, he's a really hard guy. There's no, you know, he's not going to be treated like Nancy was by the players, or Rossignol has been clearly by the players at Chelsea. Yeah. And I thought back to one of the first training sessions that Ange took, where the, you know, we never stop, but come out. And he just exuded authority right away. You know, and from what you gather, players can sniff out people that they think are just bluffers.
Yes.
In any walk of life, in any job, if you think they're a chancer, but you just get the impression, and that's what Jordan Campbell had said, that the players had said, you know, yeah, tactically great, the training sessions are bright, but he's a really hard guy. You know, he gets immediate authority.
O'Neill took us.
But they should be on. If they've not spoken to him already,
And he keeps turning up at Celtic games, so obviously, like, he's gagging for it as well, isn't he? Like,
and David Gave is there as well, so...
Yeah.
We're not talking to him, I hope.
No, that's... But, hey, I mean, the very fact the guys had a year in this league, to me, that's, like, that gives him another brownie point in the sense of why you would appoint him. That bolsters his case, that enhances his case.
You look at a coach, and he's just...
Overcomplicate it.
Yeah, he's got something. So he's got Stephen Welsh playing really well and kept him fit as well, which is a big thing that Welsh struggled with at Celtic. Was nearly every time he got a game for someone else, he picked up a shoulder injury or something.
Although he had to go off on Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fairness, he was only going off so he can get ready to celebrate and change
his mind.
Put the picture there anyway. You know, you look at it, you know, the boy, you know, people forget they lost Lennon Miller, who was their star player. So they sold him, and you know, he left in the summer, and they brought in.
Or even towards the end of the window, he left because he played.
Elijah Just, for me, he should be the footballer of the year. He's the best player I've seen play in the league this season. He's a cracking wee player, and he caused buttons. You know, Mazanisi, I can't understand that O'Neill and Maloney went to watch him and signed those other fucking dummies that we signed in January, and we looked at this boy and said, "No, not." I know he didn't have a great game yesterday.
No,
since that transfer window, his form has really tailed off. And I've got loads of my pals are Motherwell fans, and they were saying, look, he's had a real purple patch, but we're not going to say that he absolutely isn't the best forward at the club or the best player.
That was what it would have been worth a punt
rather than, as you say, absolute dummies that we signed.
That's been playing. Not a guy that's going to start the bench and not playing. That's the challenge. We didn't get him, so.
But this guy,
players in that team you would take.
ask who even understands the kind of pace and power thing. It's yes. a bit back like the Rodgers thing again, because this is the way he plays. But they were talking about it yesterday. It was fascinating about how he threw a spanner and it works for Rowe because he played the 4-2-2-2.
He'd looked at them in advance. He knew how they were going to play and set up to absolutely exploit it.
He played just as a kind of false nine. Yeah. So therefore,
and they didn't start out. They didn't have a centre forward in the traditional sense at all.
Yeah, and then Rowe worked it out at half time. So within about 25 minutes of the second half, he switched it again to change it because he knew that it wasn't working. He switched to a back three.
When was the last time you saw us doing some in-game change?
Rodgers' first spell, because Rodgers came back and he didn't have that.
There really with Rodgers. And you wonder, was it Chris Davies that was doing that rather than Rodgers?
Yeah, you do wonder. Because Ange, in fairness, Ange didn't really do it. He never changed.
Not really, no.
Ange would make changes, but they were invariably, they were the like for like. They were just, different.
A better first team and a better squad.
We had a really good squad then, didn't we? You know, you were bringing in, you know.
Yeah, but I want same way I want an ultras that react to what's happening in the pitch. I also want a coach that reacts to what happens in the pitch. No, why? In fairness, Lennon used to do it. Lennon used to change things when things weren't working.
We just seem awful rigid. I think I said that to you earlier on, Andrew. Just that the formation's rigid. The players that you play within the formation.
They're stiff.
And they won't change, you know, they don't tailor how they're playing to take into account how the other team are going to play. But, you know, the third Motherwell goal, Stephen O'Donnell runs three quarters of the length of the pitch in the 90th minute to play the guy in who scored the winner.
Left back scored as well, so you get your right back and your left back.
Yeah. I mean, that game that you and I went to between Christmas and New Year, we realised, you know, they had four right-footed players playing across the back. And two of them were O'Donnell and McGinn. And their combined age, I mean, they must be about 90 between the two of them. And they didn't break sweat, you know. So, Andrew, you're right. If we've not asked the question...
No, let's not overcomplicate this search.
No.
And let's just... Because you can get them. You can. The other thing is, Celtic haven't done for years, really, is 1st of June, here's your new manager. He's got all summer to work with us.
Yeah.
They had it. I think they had it with Strachan. Mind you, it didn't help Strachan, did it? With our media and then the Motherwell 4-4.
He needs to be somewhere socially where he bumps into Dermot Desmond, like the racing or something.
Tell him to get a betting account.
Yes.
Get shares in Cheltenham.
Or plays golf or something like that. Or goes to a wedding. He's at a wedding.
Depressingly,
just stalk him.
That's the issue, isn't it? You'd like to think somebody at Celtic had said, look, this is, you got to be taught, you should be talking to three or four guys anyway and see what they come up with. I can't understand what, like, Nancy, you know, I know when Rodgers got the job the first time he did, you know, when he went to Liverpool, he had the binder and, you know, this we're going to do with this player and, he at that level of detail. You'd like, you know, what did Nancy say? You know, he didn't even know who James Forrest was when he fucking arrived at a training ground. He didn't know anything.
No, sure. I mean, it didn't look very good. It didn't look very good, that video.
You know,
but
he hadn't spoken to the captain. He'd not spoken to the senior players, as Harry describes them. But, you know, whereas before Rodgers took the job, the first time round he had Scott Brown down in London. He'd done the same with Callum McGregor this time before he had a chat. I think you need to have a wee bit of that, but... Yeah, we need to be talking to the guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, after what he done yesterday, if you look at it, he's taken 5 points off Rangers, he's taken two off Hearts already, you know, and if he gets a result, he's done as much as we have. He's taken more points off Hearts and Rangers than Celtic have this season.
That's
with three managers. Okay, he's not won all the other games, but can Motherwell manage? He's not the AC Milan manager or Bayern Munich. It's Motherwell.
I know. No, it's a fair point.
I remember watching the first game against Rangers on opening day of the season and thinking, this is kamikaze stuff.
Yeah.
Those players will not be able to play that system.
Yeah.
That this is just madness. He'll not last till Christmas, which shows that I know the square root of hee-haw.
He done it against us as well, though, didn't he? The game at Celtic Park when they gave away the silly goal.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should have won that day. They should have won that
afterwards and said, I'm not blaming anybody. That's what I told them to do. That's what's going to happen. We've got to get... So I like the mentality he has. There's not there's no fuck blaming anybody or hanging out to dry. The players aren't working hard enough. You know, he's the boss. If it doesn't work, it's on him. And if it does work, it's on the players.
He's got an edge.
Like that as well. Like, you know,
hopefully by the time we get to that game, they'll have qualified for Europe.
Yes.
And maybe. You know, I don't know. Yeah.
Actually, it's the game before that. When Hearts come to Motherwell, because Motherwell feel as if they owe them one, Hearts, because they haven't had the results against Hearts they should have had. Hearts have had all sorts, all the luck you're talking about, Stephen. That's what I'm actually pinning.
There's a bit of afters as well. Because there was a lot of talk earlier on in the season about the nice football Motherwell were playing. I read it, something. It was like a couple of the Hearts players had saying, oh, you're not so fucking smart now, or you're not so stylish now. There was a few digs. You know what McInnes is like? McInnes is quite a snidey individual. They actually prefer the Rangers manager to McInnes, and he's a clown as well. But McInnes is just a horrible individual.
I don't feel that way. I just want to put that on the record.
Hearts play, it's all about
I liked him.
Getting in their faces and being narky. And if he tries to do anything skillful, fucking put them up in the air and stuff like that. And Motherwell are actually trying to play football. But I think with Motherwell, they've got a wee bit of steel as well. They've got a couple of guys in
steel men.
What was the score between Motherwell and Hearts at Fir Park? Did Hearts win?
No, it was a draw, I think.
Was it a draw? They drew 3 each at Tynecastle when Motherwell were 3-0 up.
3-0 up, yeah.
And then the Hearts just beat them 3-1 there.
Yes. They did.
Somewhat fortuitously. So was it a draw at Fir Park?
It was a draw.
The game was a draw, I think.
Yeah.
They had 2 draws against them.
But they feel as if they should have beaten. They'll be the only team probably this season that Motherwell haven't beaten, probably.
Yes,
In the league. I'd imagine they've beaten everybody else. Now that they've beaten Rangers there, you know. Yeah.
Falkirk with a rough game against Falkirk.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. Yeah.
Right.
So come back to this weekend.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Nothing much is going to change.
You've got a situation where we're playing Hibs. So Hearts fans will be supporting Hibs. Rangers are then playing Hearts. Hibs fans will be supporting Rangers.
Yeah.
Who will we be supporting?
It's a weird weekend, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a weird weekend. It's a weird thing to be in a title because let's be honest about it. Watching Hearts again, like you're saying, Stephen, they were not impressive. Rangers were all over the place. We know Celtic are, you know what I mean, kind of rum. We know
whoever
Celtic
wins the league this season
is the poorest league winners.
Will probably deserve to win it for the resilience or whatever, whichever of the three teams wins it. But they'll be the poorest team that's won it for a while.
Poorest team that's won it for a long while. Do you know the strange thing was? Now, see if you can get this. I was looking at the paucity of goals, Celtic's paucity of goals. 62 goals they've scored this season now, right? There was a season where they won the league in our lifetimes with 65 goals. Can any of you think what season that might be?
No, we scored quite a lot of goals that season.
We were talking about them earlier. We were talking about them just about
tracking
5 minutes ago.
One of the tracking seasons. 2006, 2007, I think.
Yes, that's probably the poorest football. Until this season, that was the poorest. That second half of that season, it was eye-watering. 65 goals he scored in 38 games. Now, I always think to myself that it annoys me that Scott McDonald isn't more appreciated by the Celtic sport. And I know because of Helicopter Sunday and all that. But I never quite understood it because he scored big goals in big games. He scored in European games.
Yeah.
Scored against Rangers. Good record against Rangers. Some great goals against Rangers. And then you think, right, he was there 6-0-7. I mean, maybe the bread and butter goals didn't he always come along in as regular a basis as you would hope for. But 65 goals for Celtic in a title winning team, 38 games. There must have been a lot. In fact, I worked it out the other week, actually. The last 17 games that season, because I was looking at it because Celtic don't seem to win by more than one goal this season. And I thought, that can never have happened. They've only won three times now, I think, in the last 15 games or something by more than one goal in this season. But seeing that season in 06-07, I think I worked out the last 16 games of the season, they didn't win any game by more than a single goal. That would make sense now.
And they won the league comfortably.
They won the league comfortably. That was Le Guin.
And Scott McDonald must have scored a significant percentage of the goals.
He must have, but it's weird.
You're right, Andrew. It was
unwatchable.
If you hit yourself about the head with a hammer, it would have been cheaper and less painful than watching that.
And it was
that year.
We signed Scott McDonald after that, I think.
So that was the season in seven.
The top scorers that season was Venegura Heselink and Nakamura. Kenny Miller only got 8, only 4 in the league.
Aye, he joined. I'm thinking of who was it? Did he score against?
Did Scott McDonald get signed in 07?
He signed the start of.
That's right, because Rangers tried to sign him in the Rangers tried to sign him in the January 07.
Yes,
they were pretty.
You're
close.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. So I take it back about Scott McDonald. Right, well, he did change it then.
He wasn't a goal scorer. Although he's more prolific than Chanchara.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping Chanchara was going to be like him.
Yeah.
In fairness to Big Jan, he scored some like talismanic goals, like the header against Rangers to win the league, the goal up against Man United at Old Trafford. He didn't score a lot of goals, but the ones he scored were, quite memorable. Yeah.
I mean, in terms of these loan players, do you think...
United to win the league in 2008.
Yeah.
But in terms of the loan players, it's just...
Do you think that that's them gone, actually? Do you think you'll not see them again?
No, I can't.
I think Chanchara will play against Rangers because he's got to give Raskin another smack in the tunnel. So he'll bring him back just to get the rest of the blood in his shirt.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him against Rangers just because he might go for that physicality against their defenders.
I thought he might do an actual, but then again, you want Maeda doing what Maeda's done against Rangers many a time.
Against that defence for the first 60 minutes, maybe give Tav a lovely send-off by putting him on the wing for the last half hour and run Tav into the ground for one final 30 minutes. And then we give James a lovely tribute as he trudges off when they're 7 points behind. The champions elect at that stage.
And he's got to give a final disappointed interview.
We'll be disappointed if he doesn't give the disappointed. And on that note, and I hope we're not getting ahead of ourselves, as we're saying, because there's a game to win at Easter Road, and my God, the nerves will jangle. The nerves are jangling even during the week now when you're thinking about the games, not even just at the games.
Mm. Yeah. I sat and looked at the Sky thing where it gave you the games remaining. Home and away and stuff, and I just sat and stared at it for about 10 minutes trying to work something or anything out, and I was none the wiser at the end of it. I really don't actually have a clue
what's going to happen. The Celtic Exchange, we shouldn't mention other podcasts, but Celtic Exchange on their Twitter feed, they've got a posted tweet, and it's like a table you put all the results in and it calculates the table for you.
Right.
It's just for the split, so you need to put in like the 3 games from this weekend, you need to key those results in. What you can then do is, well, if this happens, what's the scenarios? You can rework all the game. What do we need? And it's quite interesting because the first time I done it, Rangers won the league. So then I decided I didn't like that one. So I done it again. So I redone it. But I had Rangers beating Motherwell. I had Rangers beating Hearts. When I looked at it initially, I thought Rangers would, the game that they would slip up in again. Yeah, Rangers hadn't lost a game. When was the last league game?
December, the Hearts game.
They've only lost one league game under Danny Rowles. So they've been on a great run. And they've not lost a lot this season. The problem, Russell Martin drew a load of games. He didn't actually lose many.
Didn't he lose many games?
I don't know if he lost any, actually, in the league. But you don't know he did. He lost
the Hearts. Lost
the Hearts. But other than that, it was just the draws that killed him.
They've only lost 3 games, Rangers, and Celtic have lost 8. Is that right?
Yeah. But then they've drawn a load. And, and now, I think, particularly now in the run-in, a draw for us is as good as a loss, because we don't have the goal difference. We need a win. Ideally, we need a win by 2 goals just to start chipping away at the goal difference.
Just win all our games 2-0.
But we do
that's
that.
Nice and clean. Nice and clean.
Yeah, easier said than done.
Can you still do that, Martin?
So, last week we were saying, just win all them 1-0. But now it's got to a situation, just win them all 2-0.
We're not even thinking that even if we won all the games 1-0, Hearts could still win the league.
Yes.
On goal difference.
If they beat Rangers.
If they beat Rangers,
Rangers.
Yeah.
If they won 4 games out of 5, lost to us, depending by how much, but if it was only 1-0, sorry, then we still did.
Hearts haven't,
that's not right.
Haven't they lost a home game, home league game? That's right, isn't it?
If they win 3 of the remaining 4 and only lose to us, and we win our 4 all by 1 goal, that probably won't be enough because it won't make up the goal difference. So we need, we'll be getting into that last game needing, you know. When was the last league game? Remember when Arsenal went to Liverpool? Last game, yeah, they and they needed to win by 2, and Mickey Thomas.
Yep.
Liverpool beat West Ham 5 the previous game, and that one goal was what made the difference for Arsenal. I mean, they had to win by half of whatever Liverpool had won by.
Yes.
In clear goals. So that made a big difference.
It was 2-0 rather than 3-0 they needed,
I was at Elvis Costello at the pavilion that night, and he said, I just need to go off. And then he was calling over at the sidelines and all that. Right, and he was in a good mood. He was in a good mood for the first half yet. And it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
The whole thing dipped. That's the way I would be.
ITV, wasn't it? It was live on ITV.
Yeah, it was live on ITV. Because he's obviously a Liverpool supporter, right?
It's up, it's up for grabs now. I think there's a line is...
I don't want
Michael Thomas.
Fucking cheesy line or something.
I'll tell you, that, like, when you think back in it, the 6-2 win over Dundee, wasn't it, Celtic, before they went to Seville?
Yeah.
And it was those 2 goals they lost that night. But probably...
Was it not? Barry Smith scored an absolute worldie.
Yeah,
he thumped the ball into the top corner, and he was devastated after it. You just saw his shoulders slumping. Yeah. He knew what he'd done. Not as bad as Austin McCann, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Which I've told, I think.
Yes.
He fixed my boiler. Fixing my boiler. I tried to sell my new boiler, but it was really expensive. It was Scottish gas. What'd you expect? All right, before we're gassing too much. Do you like the segue, guys? Did you like the segue?
Andrew, it's seamless. Seamless. So you've done this before.
Absolute pleasure of your company, guys. Like, and I just hope. Let's just hope.
Yes.
Hope over hate. I'm part of that organisation. Hope over hate. Right.
For those who complained, there were some about, you know, winning the league at a canter and it's boring and stuff, I would take boring every time.
Absolutely.
Every single time.
We wanted competition, we just didn't want this much competition.
No, just a wee bit.
We didn't want to be at war with ourselves, fighting with ourselves,
It's not been, I remember there's the Bodo guy, you've got other people screaming, I'm fucking fed up hearing about Bodo.
No, give us your Bodo.
As they improve, it's something about they think a rising tide lifts all the boats.
Yeah.
And so that's the way they're looking. You know, and if you look, Bodo didn't win the league this year, so you have another side getting into Champions. You've got 2 teams getting into Champions League because Norwegian football's doing so well. But I don't think it's not... Like, in fairness, Hearts have improved massively. You can't say they haven't. They've improved massively.
Unless you're Juco James.
Yeah, but luck-wise, they have, you know, benefited too. But I think Celtic and Rangers have both regressed, which is
usually
that gap to narrow. You know, you do wonder. I wonder if you took Askew, right, and put him into Hearts, Rangers, or Celtic, I think Hearts, Rangers, or Celtic would all be further ahead in the table with Askew.
Yeah, agree.
I think he's a better manager than the other three. And that would be my worry, is if we. If Hearts don't win the league, I wouldn't be surprised if they bin McInnes and they'll go for somebody that actually plays what they want to do, some random guy. Although they picked, was it the data pick, the last guy, Critchley, and he was terrible.
He was,
so
yeah.
Maybe McInnes was the right guy. If Rangers don't win it, will they bin
any role? No, he'll get the start of next season.
I just wonder if we don't go for Askew, will someone else go for him?
I think they definitely will.
Motherwell.
Somebody like Bournemouth. What's his name's leaving? Is it Areola's leaving Bournemouth?
Yeah. No, they've
you know, kind
Mark
of progressive.
They've given Mark.
So they have. No, you're right.
If someone like that, it's like Brentford.
Somebody will look. Brentford. Your man's supposed to be leaving Fulham or Brentford.
Yeah.
You know, one of those clubs that viewed as being progressive.
Yeah.
There's a Brentford podcast today. I'll send the link. It's like Training Ground Guru or something. They did an interview but the guy's like the performance director at Brentford, but he used to work in rugby union, so he like won the Olympic Sevens with Fiji. He was involved with English rugby union, with the French rugby union, and he came in. He's a Brentford fan. They brought him in to speak to the players about, you know, just one of these like after the motivational speech type thing, and then he ended up working there. Speaks really well, but you can see why Brentford are doing so well, because they've got all this joined up thinking about how to do things, whereas we've got five guys from St. Aloysius and a guy that plays golf, and none of them have a clue, is my worry, you know. So we're not getting that media back in the ground anytime soon, are we? If they're listening to me, so.
No, it's all right. I don't care.
And we've managed to get through the entire podcast and talking about how poor an effect have been this season, and we haven't mentioned it was only in February last year that we went toe-to-toe with Bayern Munich. Yep. So I think we've done quite well.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be an absolute fixture, you know.
Yeah.
We've been guilty.
Where we are this season.
We've been guilty. Although I demolished that trope in one podcast, if you remember. So I said it was only 6 weeks before I went toe-to-toe that we got absolutely mollicated at Ibrox.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if they were at a constant high level, you know. Rangers,
Harry's going to be having a complete fit because of our repeated positive mentions of Scales, Negrin, and now we're at 1 hour 10.
Yeah. Well, that's enough for him.
That's more than enough.
It will probably be about, when you see this, it will probably be about a 15-minute podcast, actually.
That's a good bit. Yeah.
Just the top of my head for half of it. You'll just look, and there'll be no sound. No sound for about 20 minutes. Anyway, right, let's wrap it up. Great to have you, Martin. Right. Like a brilliant debut. What's that?
Predictions.
Let's do predictions.
Celtic to beat Hibs 2-1 and Rangers Hearts 1-1.
You've stolen mine, genuinely. That's what I was going to
say. I know they're a bit vanilla type of predictions, but 2-1 and 1-1.
Celtic 3-0, Rangers 2.
Right. Well, I'm going to change it then. I'm actually going to say Hearts are going to beat Rangers 2-1. Celtic, I'm going to do a real streaky one. Celtic winning 1-0. Late on. Oh, I know. All right. Great to speak to you guys, right?
All right, guys.
I hope I'm wrong, and I hope you're right, Martin. I don't think I want, you know, you've got Rangers winning, didn't you, Stephen? Don't want that.
Yeah, we don't know if we want that. I think that.
No, fair enough. That's all I want for you. I just want an honesty.
It's not what I want, but it's what I think,
Yeah. And here's the centre spread for this week. Right, speak to you later. God bless you, right? Take care.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision, and also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address, and then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.